Bad songwriting. Smoking strange when I met a penguin. Goddamn it, he was deranged. We were talking soccer, then it all fucking changed. I saw him press record and uploaded to his page. Oh, that deranged penguin. For an Antarctic bird, he should talk fast. Oh, that deranged penguin. He made me an unwilling victim of his podcast.
Usually, I put that in like post-production, so Dell never hears it, and I could tell that Dell never listens to our podcast because he was like listening to it for the first time. He was like,
it's a good tune.
And he like chuckled at some of the lyrics like he had never heard before. I was like,
no, man, that's not why I was smiling.
I didn't know the theme
of
lyrics.
I was getting nostalgic, man.
I'm going to miss that song.
Yeah. It's a tear. Yeah, exactly. Just like that. On the inside.
So yeah, we're gonna retool this podcast. It's been in the works for a while, but I wanted something to go out on, like a nice point. And I mean, I thought that last time we had our kid, there was a story to tell, and I thought it'd be good if we told a tearful story. Yeah, I told the story of this kid. And, I mean, so that's basically the bulk of this episode.
It's kind of like when a sitcom or TV show ends, but it's like a new thing is beginning, but that's the end of the show.
Like a spinoff?
And the show gets all serious.
Yeah.
It's a sad episode, and it's kind of crappy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, we've always been pretty open about the way the show works. I mean, it started out because we wanted to talk to each other, and that's been the driving force. But I think, you know, like, podcasting is a crowded market, right? And at some level, this is, you know, I've always likened it to a band, right? You know, you do it for whatever reasons you do it, right? Like, hey, I want to be famous because maybe you want to meet girls, or maybe you actually, one person actually wants to be a musician. Who knows, right? But then you kind of figure it out, and either that band evolves into its final form, or, you know, it goes away, and then everybody kind of moves on and does something else, you know, along the way. I think this current iteration of this podcast is kind of ran its course. And I think we all got better at podcasting. I know I did. And we all learned something. And I think, I mean, we plan to do something else, like a better version of this. But I think all the other stuff that we've done on the show before has kind of made it difficult to continue on into the new form. So we gotta say pause or stop, and then, you know, do a volume
back,
two.
Back to the drawing board.
Yeah. But other than that, so how's Mississippi? You still there?
It's hot, man. Hot and humid, but it's good.
I think you summed up all of Southern literature there in like two sentences, right?
Yeah,
it's hot and it's humid. Period.
Pretty much. So whatever you imagine life to be like in that situation, it pretty much is sultriness.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, we went to the South, Gina. We were in Mississippi. Was it more or less humid than Houston was?
I don't remember what it felt like at all. Completely forgot that.
Houston is humid. Houston is a balmy place.
Yeah.
I think the most humid place I remember visiting was New York, and I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Well, New York is a little swampy. It's an island, right? I mean, I think everybody forgets that because they built over it and whatever, but it's an island. It's,
you
know.
We were there in August.
Yeah, and it's like super, it was super humid, and we're walking around in the sun. I felt like I was in a movie. So that's it. That's all you got? I mean,
playing tons of gigs, finishing our album, getting artwork together, and figuring out how to distribute our album digitally.
Nice.
Running a coffee shop, started teaching again, so that's a whole new thing back in my life.
Sing me the first two notes of every track on your album. Ready, go.
Say what?
The first
two
notes.
You cut out every time I can't hear you when I'm talking for some reason. It cuts you out completely.
That's fine. Sing me the first two notes of each of every track on your album. Ready, go.
I don't even know how to do that, man.
Yeah, I'm not buying that.
Yeah. Like the lyrics or of the actual like opening part.
I don't know. Hey, here's a live clip.
He doesn't know.
From Del's album. There it is. That's the album.
You have one of those things where you just push buttons.
Breaking news, ladies and gentlemen. We have some clips of the new Gina. Do you want to hear some of his album?
No, I don't.
Well, here it is. What do you think of that?
It's groundbreaking stuff.
Yeah, there you go.
That's pretty awesome.
I'm excited to hear more.
Basically, creating a new genre.
Mm-hmm. Here's it. Here are the fans.
So clever.
It's that Mississippi crowd.
So excited. Mm-hmm. These jokes.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, just that. Buying too much music equipment, too many keyboards and stuff.
Do you need more than one keyboard to play your music? Like, because you're on tour, you're just like,
I already have the ultimate keyboard.
Yeah, that's what Del said all the time. Did he buy just two of them?
Yeah, but then something new comes out and you just got to have it. Or you get inspired by a new sound and you have to get it.
You don't have to do that either.
You don't have to, but
it's
fun.
You do it.
It's fun too. I'm also, recorded with another guy that I know that runs a butcher shop and he does like white boy reggae, like Sublime-esque stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, asked me to record some stuff with him, so you can hear me going boop 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 on album on tracks there, because that's pretty much all the music does.
Well, there you go. There's a thrilling inside the studio, you know, with Del.
Yep.
Come inside the studio. Look at me play these two keys.
Yep, these two notes over and over again.
Let's see if I can resituate over here real quick.
Yeah, man. So, we got to say second time around, leave is great.
Yeah.
I don't want to go back to work, but I'm going to have
Isn't
to
it always?
Pretty soon. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's great. You get paid and you don't got to work. I think that's the ideal.
That's the dream.
That's the ideal scenario, for everyone ever. Now we're continuing the streak of having all our children on this podcast.
How are you? How are y'all doing? How is it the second time, man? Like, stress wise, is it old hat? Is it easy managing two at the same time, or is it a new added element?
Well, I mean, I'll answer this part. At least for me, I mean, it's different, right? Because you got two, but it's not a whole lot of different because the other kid is more. Independent, right? You know, so then it's not like you have to hold two babies, right? It's one baby and then a toddler. And like you said, the other ones, you know, you can kind of say, hey, go there, do this, grab that, throw this away. So they can kind of help out a little bit. And I think the worst part, the most stressful parts is when, it's like anything, right? When everybody's at their most needy and nobody has any patience, right? But that's the case with, I don't know, like my mom or my dad, they come visit. I'm like, you know, they're like, can I have another glass of water? And I'm like, no, God damn it, Joe, water. So I said in my head. But, you know, it's the same thing. The kid's like, I want to watch Team Umizoomi. And I'm like, no, I don't want to watch Team Umizoomi. Or the kid doesn't know that the you know, like the internet's broken. It's not working. I've been trying to fix it. And she's like, it's not working. And I'm like, I know it's not working. God damn it.
Dude, you have transitioned into such a dad.
I mean, well,
like, it is amazing to me.
There's nothing you can do about it. I mean, right? That's the role I'm given. You know, you gotta explain why the thing is not working.
But, I'm just saying, yeah, like, there are things that are coming out of your mouth these days that and like Instagram posts and stuff that are fairly reminiscent of things that you made fun of Brad Paul for saying.
Well, I mean, I will say, I made fun of Brad because Brad sounds like so much like a dad, and that's funny. I'm a dad now, and I say dad type things. But you know, I don't think a lot of other stuff's changed, and you know, I think that's the part that's funny is because my kid will repeat some of the things I say back, and I'm like, well, is that what I sound like, or is that what I say, or is that what I do? I mean, but you know, like at some level, like I mean, what I have to say dad things like, shut up, kid, go to bed, it's time for bed. See, I don't think did I make fun of Brad for saying go to sleep?
Probably.
Yeah,
probably. I think the funniest thing is that we made fun of Brad for having a nanny, and then we went and hired a nanny.
Oh, you have a nanny now.
We didn't get the butler, though.
Yeah, just the nanny package. Yeah.
I need to scoot up.
But, I mean, you know, to answer your question in a sentence, it is not that stressful. But I've been on leave, right? I don't have to go to work. So
yeah.
And I think the person that had the biggest life change, like I can still do stuff, right? I still am in the basketball league, in the soccer league. And, you know, I can still do stuff. I went to the rock show yesterday with my uncle. I can still do that stuff. The person whose life has changed dramatically is Gina. So, Gina, same question.
Oh, no changes, no. You know, yeah, it's easier in some ways and it's harder in others. Like, you've done it before, so the ways in which you may be stressed about having a newborn, you don't think about so much anymore. It's like, you know, they're just there, and when they're sleeping, you know that everything's fine, and then when she needs to eat or get changed or whatever, you know how to do it. It's more comfortable than the first time around, so that part's kind of breezy, but in some ways it's harder. Like, the first time around, everybody said, you know, sleep when the baby sleeps, and I didn't do that. I was like, no, I'll use this time to get stuff done. But I actually had energy in that time to get stuff done, and this time it's like, I would love to be asleep right now when she's asleep, and I can't because I need to get stuff done, or, you know, our toddler's awake and she needs to eat or do whatever. So it's more exhausting this time, I would say.
Yeah.
I would like sleep. I would like a lot of sleep. But, you know, goodbye.
Yeah, I think that's it. It's like, you know, you didn't really have to do too much. And now there's the other stuff. Like, I think, you know, like, even just washing her clothes or something like that, or just preparing for whatever. Or I think the biggest thing is that the older kid is annoying, and that she requires guidance to go to sleep, right? You know what I mean? Like, Gina didn't have to tell me to go to sleep or to shut up or to go sit down or to go back and lay down in my bed. You know what I mean? maybe she wanted to, but, you know, like, this kid, you know, like, all right, time to go to bed. I want to watch Team Umizoomi. It's like, no, it's not time. Come on, let's go. You know, just everything takes longer when you got kids.
Right. Yes, I do know that.
Getting up the stairs.
Yeah, like, let's go. Let's go up the stairs.
And then go up the next step.
Come on, let's go. Let's go.
Everything I do, that every plan I try to make with my brother and his family, I have to schedule in about 1.5 times what it should take to do things. Yeah. Like, seriously. And I've just come to accept that. So I'm bringing a book or something to read while they do all their getting ready things. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, like, was it the other day, Regina and we went, like, we pawned both kids off. It was my birthday is what happened. And so we went to, you know, do a birthday type thing. And so, like, my mom took both of the kids. And so then it was time to go to the movies. I forgot what we did. Did we go to the movies or just go eat?
For your birthday, we just went to eat.
Yeah. But, like,
went
so we
for
just
steak.
Yeah, we left on time. It took us 5 minutes to get there. We got out. We sat down. We ordered. Like, everything took, it seemed,
no time at all.
Yeah, it seemed like it was just going so quick. I was like, my whole you know, time here is whatever is going quick. And then the other day we let the older kid stay at her grandma's house, and it was me, Jaina, and the baby, and we went to eat pancakes, and that took a lot fewer minutes, you know, because the little one, you hold on to it like under your armpit or stick it in your pocket or whatever, and you know it's fine. It's when you got a toddler, because they move slow but they want to do things. They ask questions, and so you got to answer them, or else you're an asshole, right? You know, like, Dad, what's that? Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, those are pancakes. Pancakes? Yes, those are pancakes. I like pancakes. Yeah, I like pancakes too. You know, like you have to have a whole conversation with somebody, and it's not particularly interesting, but you got to do it, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. She agrees. Yeah. She's like, yeah, you better. Yeah. Better talk to me.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, we don't have that kind of time. It has to be, like, we still do the things that we like to do. We still go to the movies, still whatever, but we just have to be judicious about it. And that's how we're different than Brad. Because Brad was like, I will never see a movie again. You know, like, Brad's like, we're not going to see a movie.
Take that, Brad.
He's like, I'm going to turn off my TV, you know? Like, we're just going to carve, you know, do cave paintings. That's going to be our entertainment. We still do what we want to do. It's just that we have to figure out the times to do them.
Yeah. You just keep thinking that you're that different from Brad.
I mean, Brad hadn't seen any show? Like, we've been watching some shows. It just, I know.
Some of that was Brad's choice, and he enveloped it in
fatherhood.
Blaming his kid. We do almost want to get rid of our dogs, man. That's the one thing where we're like, we can't be like Brad. We can't murder the dogs and say they went to a farm.
Or can we?
Yeah.
Well, your dogs are getting old, though, right? So they're getting to that stage of, like, you have to take care of them.
That's the worst. Yeah.
Yeah.
That you didn't have to.
Yeah, they're becoming, like, puppies again.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's
kind of,
like,
sad, but then.
Four puppies in there.
You have no patience.
Like, who pooped? Which one of you four pooped in this house?
Yeah, I've noticed that about Buster when he comes to stay with me. I used to be able to leave him all day.
Yeah.
And not worry about him, like, peeing or pooping anywhere. But now he's just, his bladder, he can't hold it as long. And so if I leave for like 4 or 5 hours, I'll come back and he's got a mess. And it makes me mad because it's like, I can't do the things I used to do with him, you know?
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. On the one hand, I think, yeah, you try to make accommodations for him because, you know, it's not their fault. They're just getting older, right?
Right. Sure.
But on the other hand, I think some of the things that are annoying about our dogs in particular are more annoying. It's like the other night, it's been raining like crazy here in like basically all month, all September it's been raining. And it was raining again the other night, and our dogs, who are old as shit, still freaking out because of the rain. Like, hoo, 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 peeing on the floor. I'm like, God damn it, dog, you're 15 years old. It's just rain. You've seen rain. So I was not super excited.
I'm pretty sure there's something about, like, the pressure and the
thunder
that, like, affects them physiologically.
Other dogs don't. Yeah, whatever.
No,
lots of dogs do. Yeah,
that's
why that's a thing.
Yeah, it's stupid. You know? What do they do? What do the, like, stray dogs do? They just whimper by themselves?
Cower somewhere.
Good, I'm going to stick them outside and let them whimper outside.
Pee all over the place.
Yeah.
Anywhere they want.
Good. And I think that's the stupid part where we have inside animals.
Yeah,
that sounds dumb.
It's where you blame yourself for, like, living with wild beasts.
Yeah, why do I live with wild beasts here anyway? That's stupid, ain't it? So that's what's up.
So yeah, it's different. It's easier in some ways. It's a little bit stressful sometimes, and mostly just because you want, you know, sufficient sleep. But that is what it is.
Sleep, man, it can really make whatever you're doing seem like the most difficult thing ever, all the time, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, I just need some sleep, and then
so
I'd be able
to
pour
right
my
now,
cereal.
Don't you?
Like, you spilled like 2 drops of milk. Is that why you're crying right now, Gina?
Can a woman cry?
I feel you.
The other thing
was... that, but I don't have things. The lack of sleep I get is all by choice, not out of necessity most of the time. So,
yeah, and that's a different thing. It's like, it's more frustrating when you want to sleep.
But we did this to ourselves. Yeah. We know the truth.
Well, I mean, choices were made.
We made our bed.
So how was the whole lead up to the birth? Like, I hadn't talked to y'all really since Lucy was born. So that was a lot
different this time than it was last time. I promise I won't cry this time, guys.
Wait, how different was it? It's a
joke. It's a weird joke. Well, this kid didn't use the emergency escape hatch, so that was nice.
Yeah.
We didn't go to a birth center this time like we did last time.
Okay, I was going to ask if you had a doula and all that again. But.
Yeah, I did see a midwife, but we went to a midwife group that's in a hospital. So, like for all my prenatal visits, I was seeing midwives. But for, you know, the day I went into labor, we went to the hospital to give birth. And our plan was the same pretty much as last time, which was for me to labor at home as long as possible and then go in, you know, whenever I couldn't take it anymore or thought, you know, I was far enough along. And usually you have to show up at least 4 centimeters dilated, whether at a hospital or a birth center, in order for them to keep you. Otherwise they'll be like, you need to go and keep trying to deal with this on your own. So I was hoping this time to show up way past that point. Last time I showed up at 4 centimeters, so I had the choice and was like, yeah, I'm not doing another car ride. So this time, my water broke on its own, which didn't happen last time. I was like just waking up at like 6 in the morning and my water broke, and it wasn't like crazy like the movies, like I, you know, poured a bucket of water on the bed, but you know, it felt like something happened and I knew I wasn't peeing on myself. So I was like, hey, cool, something's happening. Yeah. And I wasn't in any pain at that point. But after that, I started getting stronger contractions, which felt kind of like Braxton Hicks, which are like the practice contractions you get leading up to delivery, which happened like over the last 2 months of your pregnancy. And they're not painful. Your uterus just gets really tight and hard. So I kind of started to have what felt like those. They were just a little bit more intense. And then by about 2 in the afternoon, they started getting a little bit painful with them and a little bit more intense, a little bit closer together. So we, you know, at that point started like timing them and stuff like that. But I was still just hanging out at home. So we ordered lunch. Both of our mothers were here hanging out with our older daughter downstairs. And I was just pretty much dealing with my contractions in our bedroom, and Adam was playing video games by my side.
Woo.
As a supportive husband does.
Well, all right, just let me, can I defend myself there? Yeah. There's not a whole lot for me to do. And, you know, like I was on standby, so I was just playing a game.
And yeah, when, passing the time.
When she needed something, I paused it and I got it, you know? But it was either.
What game were you playing?
NCAA 14.
Okay.
He kept the volume low. Yeah. It was respectful.
I mean, I didn't play online. I didn't play anybody there because then, you know, I can't. I know you're having a contraction, but
you wanted to.
I got to beat this guy. He's been talking shit. No, I didn't do that. And, like, it was just a game that was already in there in my PS3, so I just played it. You know,
first, sacrifice.
Something else to play.
Yeah. Like,
the PS4 is downstairs.
Hard, all the grandma's hard decisions.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. We just hung out at home dealing with, you know, I was dealing with my contractions, and they started to get a little bit more difficult to deal with, and meaning that they started like hurting in my back, which was a problem the first time when I went into labor. I had a really bad back labor, and that's something we weren't expecting, so we didn't really know how to deal with it as well the first time. I think we handled it better this time. It was like, you know, my mom and Adam were like trading off putting pressure on my back when I was having contractions, which helps it not to feel so painful. And so, yeah, we made it all the way to like 8 p.m. And at that point, my contractions were like 1 to 2 minutes apart. And they typically say you should go in when they're like 4 minutes apart, lasting a minute long and a minute apart. Or no, it's 4-1-1. I don't remember what each stands for now.
It's every 4 minutes for a minute long, and then
okay, neither of us.
For 1 hour.
For an hour?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So anyway, they were closer than that. And
no, I mean, they were about there. So another thing that helped this time, and my mom's like making fun of my mom, was...
They were closer than that.
Another thing that helped is that we were timing them on her phone. She had a little app. What app was it?
It's like the babysitter or something like that.
So, I mean, you could just kind of start, and it gives you like the last hour's worth of times. Last time we did it, it was like my mom was writing it down. She's like, okay, it's like 3:15. You know what I mean? Like, all that's a little slower. It's just so much easier just tapping your phone, like, you know, start, stop, start, stop. Mm-hmm. And it's doing all the math for you there, you know, while you're concentrating on whatever you're doing. And, you know, so Gina, you know, she was in the shower standing up, and there's a little section. She put her phone there, and she was just kind of timing them herself. And so once we got close, I was like, all right, it's going to be time to go to the hospital. But I recommend for all you dudes that have to be the doulos. I think you just gotta, you gotta remember to just make your wife walk or do all the other things that should maybe. I don't know. It depends on you're the person you're guiding, right? What they need to do. I think for Gina, I had to make sure you walked. That was it.
Yeah, I didn't want to move at that point. I just wanted to stay in a ball on the bed and brace myself each time. So yes, they were closer than the recommended thing, because the recommended thing is either 411 or 511, which is when they come every 4 or 5 minutes. That's what that first number means. And at the point that we went to the hospital, they were coming like every 1.5 to 2.5 minutes apart.
Wow.
So yeah, they were really close together.
Because I know it was leading up, and it was getting to that point where it was like that for like an hour. And that's I was like, okay, it's almost time to go once it hits an hour, and then we'll go. What's in that range? And the whole idea is that, like, you go at that point because then they slow down again. So if you wait to before that, then, you know, they'll slow down some more. And then, you know, depending on the place you're going, they have like different rules, you know, like once you begin seeing the...
Yeah, your labor can stall when you get to the hospital. You're less comfortable then. You're not, you know, where you were at home or whatever before, and your body's comfortable to do what it needs to do. And the other goal is to show up, or my goal at least, was to show up when I was close to transition. That way I knew that I was, you know, nearing fully dilated. I wouldn't have to be at the hospital for forever. And then, like Adam was talking about, then I wouldn't be put under like any kind of clock for, you know, you haven't progressed in so much time, and that they start pressuring you to progress further, and then, you know, that leads to interventions and stuff like that.
Basically, they just walk around with, like, scalpels, or like, slink, slink, slink. We can cut that baby right out of here right now, buddy. And so, so you were VBAC, right? They just kept stamping on your head?
Yeah, I had a cesarean the first time, an emergency cesarean. This time I wanted to do it vaginally if I could.
Yeah.
That was the plan. So, yeah, we showed up at the hospital by like 9 p.m. or something.
Yeah.
And when they checked me, I was 8 centimeters.
Which is good.
Nice.
Which is awesome, because if you don't know, you're supposed to get to 10 before you can push your baby out. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I was really happy. The nurse that checked me was surprised that I was so far along, because they didn't think I was in that much pain, I guess.
I know, it's just...
Since I walked in there, they're like, really?
Yeah, and that's the other thing, too, is like there's a whole lot of... I guess, like, you walk in and it's not, you're just not at baseline zero. They look at you and they just start judging you. And I know this sounds like paranoid or whatever, but they do. And you can get it with all these questions here, like Gino was saying. All of a sudden they're like, well, you're probably not, are you sure that this is, are you whatever, are you this? They just have doubt in their voice.
Which I guess they deal with a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean,
some people show up not knowing what's going on with themselves.
Most people are real stupid.
Yeah.
And very not self-aware of their bodies and stuff. Yeah. So
But it has a net effect of meaning that they don't trust anything you say to them.
Yeah, they're cynical and jaded.
Yeah, and so then, you know, so I had to tell them, hey, look, here's the other thing, too, is that Gina is really good at pain management. You know, like, she's, I told Gina to, like, I was like, you know what? Go ahead and add a couple levels, you know, if you think it's a 5, say it's a 7, because they're not going to believe. And then there's the other part, too. There's a, I think we had just seen a few articles that were pretty prominent about how black women were dying at a higher rate than compared to white women in this country. And then, like, overall women in this country were, like, having more complications and dying in childbirth than we have seen in a long time. especially compared to the developed world, the rest of the developed world. And so a couple of those things were in my head when I was saying these things. And also just like the general, you can say it's racist, but like a lot of people don't think that black people hurt as much or that feel pain at the same levels. So they tend to underrate it. And so that's what I was telling Gina. I was like, you probably should overrate whatever you think. I think it's compounded by the fact that Gina is pretty good and she has like a real poker face when it comes to pain. And the first time they're like, oh, you didn't even in pain? Gina later on says, yeah, I was in a lot of pain. But they're looking at her and they're like, oh, she's not in a whole lot of pain, huh? And so, I mean, they're not really going to take some of her concerns seriously. So I was like, you know, just say, if you feel like it's a 5, say it's a 7. So maybe they underrate and they give you a 6. At least you get the 5, right? The 5 treatment. And I mean, I told the nurse there, I was like, yeah, Gina's real good at managing the pain. Last time she walked in at 9 centimeters, the last time we had a kid. So, I mean, it's not unusual for, I mean, so that's the whole deal is that they're like, oh, okay, well, okay. And so then they, you know, they were a little bit more helpful, I thought, after kind of being.
You had to prove that you knew what you're talking about.
Yeah, pretty much.
But, I mean, yeah, so on the one hand, you're like, oh, that sucks. But on the other hand.
Here's my resume. Here are my credentials.
Yeah, on the other hand, you know, they are. It is up to you to kind of manage your own life a little bit at a certain level. I don't know. Wait, how did you feel about that level of care? Did you feel like they were doubting you, Gina?
I mean, a little bit. It's just funny that they were surprised that I was that far along. I don't know what they expect. Hold on. Baby handoff. since I was seeing the midwives anyway, once I got through the whole triage area of like getting checked in and all that stuff, it was better because the midwife came into the room and
do you even have a baby?
Then I could kind of go back to the atmosphere I was looking for, which was not really being messed with, you know, kind of left on my own to continue to labor. And then they just check on you occasionally and make sure everything's going all right.
Remember they threw a gown at you and like, get changed, chick.
Yeah, you have to go into triage by yourself, which is kind of crazy because they just send you into a bathroom. They're like, there's a stack of hospital gowns there. Like, grab one, get dressed, get changed. I was like, I'm in labor right now and I have to assemble my own hospital gown. Like, it's the kind that has like all these buttons, but it was completely undone. And I didn't even know, like, which part's the arm. I was like, I have no idea what I'm doing here. I can't think about this right now. So
how did you get that done?
I had to ask for help. I opened the door. I was like, I can't do this right now. Somebody help me. So stuff like that, I feel like they haven't really thought it through. But
maybe that's a test. Like, well, if she can put this gown on, she ain't really pregnant.
She did a great job. The gown was phenomenal.
Get out of here, you faker.
Yeah. Get out of here. So, I mean, you know, that all worked. I was told to wait in a waiting room. Then they called me in.
Yeah, once they get me all ready, Adam got to come back again, and then they get me moved to another room, and then my mom got to come in. And so I think by then, I don't know, maybe it was like 10 o'clock or something, 10 p.m., and...
Well, I was going to say, another tip for if you're helping somebody that's pregnant and in laborious... Write all the stuff down, because even though I knew some things...
Write what stuff down?
Like social security number, things that they're whatever, allergic to, their name, address, all that other stuff. Like, have it on a card so you can just read it off. Because even though that you filled out this paperwork before, it doesn't matter. They ask you anyway. All right, Mom. Yeah. So what... Are you allergic to any meds or blah, blah, blah? What's less of that? Like, little things like that. Some things you might. I'm never going to know Gina's social security number. But I will. I could know. And I also wouldn't know, like, the last time you had, I don't know, whatever.
My cycle?
Yeah. Like, I don't know. I don't know what that means, lady. You know, so little things like that. Write it down. Please continue.
Yeah. But I mean, as the woman who was in labor, you can still answer those questions yourself, just as long as you're not in the middle of a contraction. It's when that's happening that you cannot talk or think about anything but that. But in between, you get a break and you can like breathe for a second. But anyway, so our second child ended up being born at 12:58 a.m. So we were only there a few hours before she came. And it was a successful VBAC. So I was really happy with that. I was proud of myself. Pushing her out was probably the craziest thing I've ever experienced.
Yeah.
It was not what I was expecting. I don't know what I was expecting. I binge watched birth movies and stuff leading up to get myself ready. And there's a lot of people who will say, oh, pushing's the best part. Like, you deal with all this pain leading up to it, and that when you can finally push, you just feel like you're being productive. So I was like, oh yeah, pushing's going to be awesome. Like, if I can deal with the pain to get to 10 centimeters, then once you can push, you know, it's all downhill from there. But that was the worst. And like, push, they're trying to like encourage you and like, push through the pain. I'm like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Why would you do that? So that was nuts, but I gotta say
I'm basically a midwife though. I mean,
yeah.
You have a second career to fall back on. Yeah.
I mean, well, it's because like I said some stuff and the midwife was like, yeah, that, and I was like,
I know everything,
man.
Duh. Yeah.
Yeah. But you know,
Adam knows all.
I was like, I'm basically a midwife. Give me some medications. I'll administer them. Where does this needle go?
I got this. So, yeah, in comparison, experience one to two, two went down the way we were hoping the first time would have. But I think the crazy part this time was after our daughter was born.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah. Hey there.
I'm showing Dell the kid. she was like borderline, you know, like all babies that you have fluid in you, right? Mm-hmm. The birth process shoves all of that out, and then you start breathing with your own lungs there for a little bit. And so, the kid had to go into the ICU because it was like borderline. They're like, let's just be safe. And I knew, I was like, fuck. As soon as the kid goes in the ICU, she's going to be an ICU checklist. It's like going to a mental institution. You're like, you know, I'm feeling a little depressed. Like, all right, cool. And then now you have to pass like some tests, and they don't even know if you'll ever be sane again, right? You're just, you know, I'm feeling better. Like, well, did somebody tell you that? Like, what? Right. No, I'm feeling, you know, just like, you know, you have to check all these boxes. So we were prepared for that. It kind of sucked. We're like, okay, cool. 3 days at the most, right? You know? And that was an ordeal, man. I was like, God, that was just, it felt like
we were
crazy because we're like, so she's fine now, right? By the end of the first day, like, she was breathing normally. We're like, cool, so can we take her to the room? They're like, we really want to check her blood sugar levels and blah, blah, blah. And then, and this is where it can kind of get controversial. And we were trying to be careful to not sound like crazy anti-vaxxers, mm-hmm. but also, you know, like, respectful of their process and their expertise. But at the same time, trying to push back a little bit. Like,
yeah.
So I don't know how much you guys know. We'll keep it relatively short, but so as soon as you're born, you know, your whole body's trying to work by itself, right? It's not relying on your mother anymore, so you have to process your own fluids, your liver has to work, and all babies are born a little jaundiced. And this kid was also but you know, that's the thing, is like, what is normal, there's like a range, and she was slightly higher. And then here's the other part, is that she's, you know, black and Mexican kid, right? So I felt that they were not taking that into account. Like, African-American children are they have a little bit higher bilirubin levels, is what the thing that they're measuring to see, you know, how jaundiced and how dangerous, whatever. And the other part was that you know, they wanted to put her on fluids, which is standard ICU procedure, and we're like, okay, cool, but can we just breastfeed her, right? Because that whole process, as you're breastfed, your bilirubin levels are a little bit higher and your blood sugar levels are a little bit lower, just because, you know, you're working on that, and, you know, the mom's mm-hmm. milk is not coming through. So this whole part time, it's, you know, like, it's a little bit lower and it looks a little dangerous, but it's not. It's not really. It's pretty common. Everybody said, every nurse we talked to, Gina's mom's a nurse, all her nurse friends we talked to, they're all the same. They're like, yeah, that's all normal levels, but you're talking to ICU people, and I know they have a little bit of liability there. They're just like, no, this is just dangerous and whatever, and we just don't want them. And I'm like, okay, can we please, you know, just mm-hmm. not freak out about this, and can we address these. Maybe put the baby in the room with her mom, where it's a lot easier to breastfeed.
And we have but windows. No.
They what was it? What did they have you do every like 5 minutes? You had to walk down 8 floors to go breastfeed. Much.
Yeah, like. When she immediately went there, I couldn't go breastfeed her at all. They were like, we're going to hold off. If she's on IV fluids anyway, she'll be fine. And it was maybe early in the morning that they finally let me come to the NICU and try to start doing that. And what? Sorry, our kid's reaching for something. Not right now. So
Adam keeps Lion Kinging his his new daughter.
Simba. So the first plan they had was for me to come to the room every 3 hours. Watching. And then because her levels still weren't changing on, you know, the track that they wanted them to progress at, they suggested I start coming every 2 hours. So every 2 hours, I was going down 2 floors in the hospital to the NICU to breastfeed our kid. And then I would go back to my room where inevitably, you know, a nurse was coming in to check my vitals, or they were coming to bring me, you know, my medicate my vitamins or whatever, and then trying to take a nap, but then it was time to wake up and go back again and start the whole thing all over. So my first 2 days there, I think I slept maybe 2 hours total, like in 48 hours. So I was exhausted to say the least. And and you know, combined with that was dealing with talking to the doctors in the NICU and the nurses about when does she get to leave? What are we waiting for now? And arguing with them, basically trying not to argue about, you know, what's realistic for
again, you don't want
a full term newborn kid versus, you know, the kinds of babies they're normally dealing with.
You really don't want to come off as like a psycho. Cause then who knows? Yeah. But so you want to be like, hey, I care about my kid, and we're trying to get the kid the best care. And we understand you have to give a whole preamble every time. Like I love and trust science. In fact, I used to be a science major. And you know what I mean? So you have to do all this stuff so that way you could just say, hey, maybe we don't do what you say, right? Like, I mean, maybe we could do. And then we're, again, trying not to sound crazy, but we're brushing up on our literature here, right? And I'm like, yeah. The latest science says that there's no definitive line, and that just to be safe, they like to go, you know, 2 levels above, but nothing is really dangerous. But, you know, they hit you over the head with the scary shit like, do you want your baby's brain to develop normally? Like, are you risking it? I'm like, no. Yeah. Obviously, no, right? Obviously, we want our babies to develop normally and not die. But are we really risking that by saying, hey, come here? We're not even saying, like, let's never science our baby. We're just going to run off into the woods. We're saying, hey, can we put the baby in the room? So that way my wife doesn't have to, you know, go up and down 2 floors, you know? And she's not sleeping. Yeah. That can't be good for the baby, right? You know? That can't be good for her. Anyway, so we did a little complaining, just the right amount of complaining. Gina did just the right amount of crying, and
letting go a little bit.
So then we got the doctor to say, okay, well, I'll tell you what, if the baby's level is at this with just breastfeeding, we'll let the baby go, and was, you know, like I said, everything was pretty normal.
And that was by Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday. Baby was born Wednesday morning. Out by Saturday. It felt like the longest week ever in the history of weeks.
It was an eternity.
Sure.
A lot of that was because Gina didn't sleep. I didn't really sleep a whole lot either because I was, you know, trying to be supportive and go with Gina so she didn't have to go. But I skipped a couple, and I think you just let me sleep.
Yeah. Like, if one of, we can't both be completely exhausted. Like, somebody's got to be thinking straight.
Right. Yeah, man, that's the side of like hospitals I'm not too sure about anymore. Like, and how much of that is
liability.
An opportunity to like, liability, but also an opportunity to run bills up, man, to run insurance bills up, you know, like,
we definitely had a suspicion of that. Like some people we were talking to for advice were implying that might be the case too, because the NICU doctor was on her schedule through Sunday. Right. And as the days progressed, it was clear she was not trying to let us go until Sunday.
Yeah.
Right.
And she kept using that as like something reassuring, like, it's okay, I'm here until Sunday. We'll get you out by Sunday.
I don't care about you, lady.
I don't want to be here until Sunday.
I don't want to hang out with you.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's wild. And maybe, and it's funny if you start thinking, if you start to like go down that conspiracy rabbit hole, yeah. Like the fact that the birth was simple and only took a couple of hours, like maybe they needed to, you know, to come back to zero or to make some money off of you. So, right. Oh, the levels are too high. I don't know.
I mean,
so, and then, but it's so messed up because it is all about like they play this like, oh, you're a bad parent or you don't care about your child or your child is going to die if you do that, you know. And like you said, like it's different from every person. Different ethnicities have different normal levels of things. And mm-hmm. And yeah, that would freak. That would be weird, too. It'd be like, what did I just watch that the Leonardo DiCaprio movie, that old Skull Island or whatever?
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Which
we
one?
Have the book here.
Oh,
it's right there.
Oh, yeah.
Shutter Island.
Shutter Island.
Yeah. Just, it's like that sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what we're saying. It was like, again, it feels like we're in the, like, an insane asylum here. Like, we're trying to prove that we're sane. But then the more vigorously you try to prove it, then the more crazy you look, right? And so we're just like, God, this is so frustrating. And then on top of that, like Gina's, that was the kid. Gina's mom was saying, like, yeah, the other thing is, like, you know, you can't say some things because then they're, like, the baby is the patient. You're not the patient. Right. And the doctor's first duty is to the patient and not to you. So it doesn't matter what you feel like. And so then you can't, you know, base your arguments and say, like, we feel more comfortable. You know what I mean? We had to say, hey, I think it's in the baby's best interest if the mother is comfortable and blah, 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 you know? So then we had to couch our arguments all this way.
Yeah, be your own lawyer.
Yeah, and I mean, and all that is more frustrating and more difficult when you're tired and exhausted, right? So that's the hardest part. And then you're trying to figure out, well, maybe they're right. Are we making decisions from tired brain perspective?
Mm-hmm.
Or are we making sound decisions? I don't know. And that's the hard part. That's why having some perspective and having some people that are at least a little bit familiar with the whole process and it's not just us.
Right.
Kind of makes sense.
Yeah. So that was the adventure this time.
Yeah.
Beyond the birth. But fortunately, she was healthy, and we all eventually got to come home.
If we have a next baby, we're having it in the woods.
Yeah. Far away from anyone.
Like, it makes me want, if I ever have kids, just do it in my house and not even tell the doctors.
I know.
You know.
It's tempting, and it's hard to say, because we kind of talked about that with this time. Like, well, if things went the way they went this time, but we weren't at the hospital, what would have happened? Like, would it have been an issue, an emergency? Would we have been transferred if, you know, our baby was born where she had the excess fluid in her lungs? And I know they've got some of what they need in a birth center or midwives attending at your house to help deal with that. But if they couldn't get her oxygen to, you know, what it was a safe level, would we have ended up at the hospital anyhow? Yeah. So is it better that we were there in the first place? And yeah, it's hard to know. There's a lot of what ifs and unknowns.
Yeah, I think I liked, I guess, if we had a philosophy, it's like I'd like to keep it all like intervention to a minimum. Like, I mean, all the things, I don't really like taking Tylenol or whatever like that. I'll just manage my own pain until I absolutely can't or something like that. Just because you introduce something, anything you do has side effects. You know. I was flicking my kid to get her to be quiet, and she told me to stop doing that.
Stop doing that.
Yeah. I mean, so that's it. Is there anything else you want to tell about your story?
I think that's basically it. I mean, my advice to anybody listening, if you're a woman thinking about having a natural childbirth or pain-free, you know, unmedicated, is that you can do it. It's completely manageable without pain medication. Do your research, you know, make sure you're making an informed decision, and wherever you're going,
an outformed decision,
make sure you're comfortable and that, you know, whoever's supporting you, like Adam was saying, knows what your plan is, because once you get around, you know, other medical professionals and they have their say, it may get hard to stick to your plan or stick to your guns. That they tend to make you feel like you're doing the wrong thing, or you've made a dumb decision, no matter how you do it.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, Gina did, you know, she hinted at it this time, and then she talked about it last time, is that she was really prepared as she, you know, as she could be, you know, without getting a degree in babyology or something, right? Is that, like, Gina knew what she wanted. She did, there was a bunch of terms they threw out, and I was like, I think I remember what that means. And Gina's like, I don't want that. And then, you know, continues to labor. Or mm-hmm. she's like, yes, we do want that. So, I mean, I think a lot of it, all the good that came out had a lot to do with Gina being super prepared. And which only makes sense, right? Gina's going to give birth, so Gina's prepared. She read up about it. She learned about it. She watched people give birth. I mean, you know, that only seems smart, right? You know, like, you starting a restaurant or picking up a restaurant, you read about it. You know, you did research, mm-hmm. right? Because
right.
to not do so would be silly.
Yeah. But a lot of people don't. A lot of people don't.
A lot of people are stupid.
Yeah.
Don't be like a lot of people.
Don't be like smarter. A lot of people. That's a t-shirt. Don't be like a lot of people. Listen, do your research.
That's the other part, too, is that I don't know what happened in a lot of the movies that we've been watching because the kids are crying. And the other kid is asking me questions. Dad. What's that? Like, that's mm-hmm. a cheetah in this book that I bought you and that we read every day.
And still a cheetah.
It's still a cheetah. Hasn't changed. Still a cheetah. Dead. The cheetah goes, rawr. Like, maybe. I don't think the cheetah makes it sound, but yeah. Dead. It's a gorilla. It's a gorilla. Borilla? Gorilla. Huh? It's a gorilla. It's fine. Huh?
Oh my gosh. Adam the literalist. I love it.
Hey Penny, can you tell Dell what sound a lion makes?
No.
Come.
No. Yeah, you can.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
She's not a show pony, she says.
I will not dance with you.
It's not. So yeah, that's what we've been up to.
Yeah, it's something. That's something. So, Lucy's pretty close to your birthday, Adam.
Yeah.
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 I don't even get that to myself. Anymore. God.
Yep. She's giving
Dad,
up all rights.
Yeah. It's your birthday? No, I don't have a birthday anymore.
Another birthday to remember. Yeah. Another social security number to not memorize.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that'll be gone by the wayside anyway. Another. 5 or 10 years.
Well, once we get chipped.
Social yeah, insecurity.
It'll yeah, it'll be all chips and stuff like that, I think.
Yeah, the other part I want to make a note of is that I was preparing. I didn't really think, I was not really worried about it, but, you know, I did a little preparation for it. We both did. Was for the older kid to be jealous and mm-hmm. mean to the younger kid. And yeah, I've been joking that I feel like an asshole. Like, I'm the only one with evil thoughts because she was super sweet to her. Like, you know, first day she's like, oh, Lucy. She, you know, she helped her out and
fucking, super gentle.
Yeah. Like, you know, she's super helpful. She's sharing her toys. She, one, our kid is like watching Boss Baby. And then, you know, I don't know if you've watched the movie, but there's the older kid in that one has a special song, which is just Blackbird by the Beatles. Mm-hmm. And so she calls that her special song. And I was like, you don't have a special song. She's like, Dad, I need my special song. I was like, what, mm-hmm. what the fuck are you talking about? It's a special song. And I was like, wait, it's from the movie. So I played it. And she's like, yeah, it's my special song. Anyway, so we're in the car. We're getting ready to go to run an errand. And, you know, that's an ordeal. Everybody's in there. And you have to pull up. You forget how often the kid cries. And when they're that tiny, there's not much you can do. So you just got to pull over and check all the levels. Like, poop? Mm-hmm. No. Pete? No. Does it need breasts? Maybe. Let's check, you know. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so then we're driving, like, I was playing the Blackbird, and she was like, she's singing it, humming it, and the kid, younger kid starts crying. She's like, oh, it's okay, baby. Look, listen. It's your special song. It's your special song. Mm-hmm. And we're like, oh, look how cute that is. We're just...
Like now.
She sounds super sweet right now. Right now,
yeah. I mean, right now she's, you know.
Can I just say that I am really happy that Penny's first special song is by the Beatles.
Number one, she doesn't know what special song means. Number two, she's just copying the movie.
So she does like the song. I'm going to remind you and her of this in about 10 or 15 years.
She also likes Mother by Danzig. So that was her first special.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mother. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's cool. I think, you know, we talked about this before. You end up doing a lot of stupid shit. Things, you know, like I'm just dancing to Bubble Guppies. Like, wow. See, I'm in a circle like a cowgirl. I'm doing the thing with her.
Yeah.
It's corny. Yeah. But it's fun. I mean, you know, like, it's hard not to even, unless you, as cynical as I am, it's hard not to get excited or just appreciate the joy. Somebody just purely enjoying something, you know? Like, it's all, she's just like, this is fun. Look, a balloon. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Balloons suck, and maybe
I know.
You know.
Like, when I'm out by myself and I see things like that, I'm kind of get excited for a second. Like I need to show someone, and I'm like, "Oh yeah, I'm alone. I've seen balloons before."
Yeah. You're recapturing that childlike wonder.
Yeah,
that we lose. Like,
oh wow. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean,
I look like a fool.
Like when we were leaving the restaurant, and we were without our older kid, and I thought, "Oh, cool. Let me get my credit card out so she can pay." Like that whole thing. Like, you know, like by letting her do stuff, you're kind of teaching her how to interact with them and be nice. And even when she's an asshole, like she was crying, she yelled at the waitress, "No, no, get away!" Well, I made her apologize when the waitress came back. She's like, "I'm sorry for yelling." And you know, the waitress think that's the cutest thing ever. So that's cool and fun. But there's a whole bunch of opportunities for learning. So yeah, we try to get excited about that. I forget I'm still in that mode. Like Gina said, I'm like, look, there's turtles here. I'm like, what? Oh, wait, there's somebody here. All right. Mental note, I know where there's some turtles are.
Look at the puppy.
Yeah. Just guys? By myself. Guys? Yeah, when you say it by yourself, you look like a creep.
People worry about you. That's how you end up back in the institution.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The puppies. See, I don't like all this whining that's happening right now. Do it on purpose.
It's that post-nap mood.
Yeah. And so you're always like in police mode, you know what I mean? You can't ever, just like, is she whining? Is she doing it? Is she actually complaining? Or is she just, you know, building up a bad habit here? Yeah. Do I be soft and gentle, or do I be you know, stern and disciplinarian?
Right.
And am I choosing disciplinarian because I'm sleepy, you know? Or am I doing it because I actually truly want to help my daughter grow and become, you know, a well-rounded person, right? Or do I just want fucking quiet?
Yeah.
Don't throw things at me, kid. Anyway, so that's what's up. This is the final Deranged Penguin Podcast in its current form, ladies and gentlemen.
That's our new theme song.
Yeah, and that's our new theme song, whining in the background.
She's singing Mother?
Yeah.
Yeah, her version.
Kids Bob version. Mommy, I really want some snacks today.
That would be excellent. Need to do that.
Okay.
Oh, I think there is a part like that in the song, right?
Yeah. All right, so we're going to, like, we won't reveal any details because then we got making promises we can't keep. But you'll see the three of us. You'll hear the three of us on a different version of this podcast.
New show.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's it. Del, do you wanna say the last words ever on this show?
Oh man.
Oh my gosh.
Make it good.
I don't know. I feel like it'd be most appropriate to let Werner Herzog take us out.
I agree. Let's play that.
We've been talking for an hour and 13 minutes on our first podcast. I think we're done, guys. I'm done.
Yeah, we got a problem with this call, too, so I guess that means we're finished.
All right. Well, say bye, everybody. Nick. Del, say bye.
Well, Gina is disconnected, it looks like, so.
Gina, did you disconnect?
But yeah, I enjoyed it. Thanks, guys. We got deep and serious at the end. I think that's the opposite of how it usually goes. Maybe not. Maybe that's good.
Yeah. All right, Dale. Later, man.
All the heavy stuff. See ya.
Yeah. Later. Yeah, you're cutting out. All right. Later.
I don't mean that a penguin might believe he or she is Lenin, Napoleon Bonaparte, but could they just go crazy because they've had enough of their colony?
Well, I've never seen a penguin bashing its head against a rock. They do get disoriented. They end up in places they shouldn't be, a long way from the ocean.
These penguins are all heading to the open water to the right. But one of them caught our eye, the one in the center. He would neither go towards the feeding grounds at the edge of the ice, nor return to the colony. Shortly afterwards, we saw him heading straight towards the mountains, some 70 kilometers away. Dr. Ainley explained that even if he caught him and brought him back to the colony, he would immediately head right back for the mountains. But why? One of these disoriented or deranged penguins showed up at the New Harbor diving camp, already some 80 kilometers away from where it should be. The rules for the humans are: do not disturb or hold up the penguin, stand still and let him go on his way. And here, he's heading off into the interior of the vast continent. With 5,000 kilometers ahead of him, he's heading towards certain death.